I am right now 86 years, 1 month, 5 days, 2 seconds. Please tell Charlie what I said, because he's the one who made me older. As you can see, I was born. And I grew up in a very happy home as the youngest of 3 children. I'm the only survivor. We all know that your family aren't your best customers. My parents were both teachers, but my mother, things are just the same now as what it were then. Some people have jobs and some people never get a job. My mother never taught. She was always at home. My father was the teacher. And in the 14 years, he died when I was 14. In those 14 years, I never heard them have a quarrel even once. And I never heard my mother say a swear word, not even damn it. I started work at 16 when I was finished with matric in the school board office. And of course, I got married to a teacher who died 17 years later. He was a smart man, otherwise I would have been part of statistics. That is where my story and my problems start. You see, there was no debt, but a teacher like this today, they don't earn a fortune. There was no debt, everything was paid for. But what I could see for the future wasn't something that I liked. I wanted something else. So I started praying. Now I must tell you, I don't believe in praying and then sitting back. Nobody is going to do your job. You have to, I tried so many things. It was pouring out of my ears. But I prayed, I was specific. I prayed for something that would have to do with other people. I didn't want to sit in a back room working on something and then having to look for somebody to buy it. I wanted to be with people. I was specific. What I was praying for was something like this business, only I didn't know it then. But that was 1968. I had to wait. Our business started in South Africa on the 1st of October, 1971. Then I had to wait for Charlie and Alta. They were slow. They only started 2 years later in 73. And then they didn't have my name. I was never invited. I just happened onto the scene. But I'm so glad I made it. On a Monday morning, people whom I didn't really know, they had a shop on the other side of the street. And they came to where I was working and they wanted me to take them to their wilderness holiday. And I was living in Oudtshoorn at that time. They wanted me to take them to the wilderness holiday inn. And I said, what for? What are we going to do there? No, they've been invited by somebody who wouldn't tell them what it was. That man only said, it's something that you can work part-time. They caught me. Something that you can work part-time. I said, okay. Even though I suffered badly from night blindness, it took me an hour and a half to get to the Wilderness Holiday Inn. It's just half an hour to George, if there's a Transvaaler in front of you. At that time, our presentations took 3 hours with 2 intervals. They wanted to leave at the first interval. What I did not know is that they loved us. Oh, man, they had 3 before the time. We walked into that hall at 8 o'clock sharp. And I was so scared that I wouldn't be allowed in because I wasn't invited. I sat at the back. There must have been more than 100 people that night. In any case, at the second interval, I couldn't keep them anymore. But I remember Charlie said, you must compile a name list, starting with your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people whom you meet at church, whom you went to school with. I started writing. By 2:30 that morning, I had a few 100 names, and I decided to go to bed. I set my alarm clock, and at 4:30, I phoned the Holiday Inn. I didn't know whether Charlie was staying there, and if he left, whether they would give me the address. So I phoned, and the night watchman answered the phone. I said to him, listen, I want to talk to Mr. Charlie Bolton. He did a meeting. I remember this time I wrote it down. He did a meeting in the back hall. I knew the Wilderness Holiday Inn. And he said, no, but he can't wake up a guest at this time of the day. He'll be fired. I said, you'll be fired in any case if you don't do it right now, because I know your boss. Charlie wasn't even asleep. A farmer doesn't sleep after 4 o'clock in the morning. He came over to Oudtshoorn on that same day and he showed me the rest of the business. 2,000 rand. Man, at a time when you could buy a good-sized family car for 1,000 rand cash. 2,000 rand. I didn't have it. But I would get it. Now, a few months before that, I didn't know where I would get it. A few months before that, friends of mine came to me and they said to me, if I was prepared to put some money into their business, I could be a partner. Now, I don't know whether you read your Bible. I do. But I had forgotten about something. That is a sin. You never become a partner in a business. Somebody's going to lose. And within 2 days, I found out that somebody had my name. I realized that soon I would have lost everything. But I wasn't sitting still. I tried so many things, it was running out of my ears. In the meantime, Charlie kept contact. More or less once, most of the time, twice a week. I think he was trying desperately to set up a business in Oudtshoorn, in this business of ours. But I know today why that wasn't possible, but I don't want to go to court, so I'm not going to tell you why. I tried the bank for the 2,000 rand. I tried all my friends, and then I discovered they weren't friends and they didn't have money. If Charlie hadn't kept contact with me, I would have lost faith. It took me nearly three months to get the money. And then on a Monday morning, I phoned the number that Charlie gave me. I didn't know that there was an altar. I was so used to ordinary business where you walk over dead people to get to where you want to be. I didn't know whether she knew that he was in this business. And she answered the phone. I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. Except, I've got the money. And then she knew what was going on. Now, Charlie wasn't at home. He was at Sierra Ranch for a leadership week. He only got back on the Wednesday, and that now that was the Monday morning. An altar sent two men, two distributors, to complete my application form and to take the money. You have to be quick. When a person says they've got the money, take it immediately, or they change their ideas. These two walked in at 2:30. Now, the people with whom I was the partner, the man was there right then, and he came to see what we were talking about. I've never told anybody about this. I think Charlie's going to have a shock here from water. And this man said, would you like to be in the business too? Guess what happened? I was a partner. I wanted to drop dead. I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, I have wide awake sponsors. Charlie rectified that within a month. That's a long story on its own. But at 5 o'clock that afternoon, I went home. Now, I had an addiction, music. I couldn't go without music. I played various instruments, and I was completely crazy about music. I got home, I did what I usually do, washed my hands, put my bag down, and as I touched the piano to open it, I heard the echo of Charlie's words, make a list of names. I had a serious decision to make, and I had to make it right there. I didn't even think, because if I did not stop my music there and then, tomorrow would be too late. I would never have had the time to work this business. I phoned the removal company and Elaine answered. She said, no, we can't pick up your piano today. We'll pick it up tomorrow. I said, no, today. Squinton there, he's the boss. She said, yes, but he'll give you the same answer. I said, well, shut up, I want to speak to Quinton. He gave me the same answer. I said, Quinton, if there's overtime to pay, I will do it. He said, there's no overtime, we'll come and fetch it. In the meantime, I phoned another friend of mine who's been pestering me for my piano accordion. And I said to him, if you're here within 10 minutes, you can have it. He said, what do you want for it? I said, we can talk about this later. Come and fetch it. Otherwise, I'll burn it out. I got rid of that and I gave the other three instruments that I had, I gave away. Now I was in business. I didn't know how to invite. I'd forgotten that. But I got started. Charlie brought me 2 days later. Now you must listen to this. Because if all of us would do that, you'd not be excellent sponsors only. You will build a team that's worthwhile. Charlie brought me one each of all the products. He walked in like this. He opened everyone. He collected all the soap in my house. I even held the dirt bin open for him. And I passed him the stepladder because my son's kitchen soap was on top. My Marie thought it was an early Christmas. There was soap for Africa. He demonstrated every single one. He gave me a training session. You know what he taught me then? Our products are the best. Use them. Be your own best customer. And if you can say right now that you are not using a minimum of 20 of our products, have a close look at yourself. You're not going to make it. Our direct schools, which we had to qualify for that every month. It was only for direct and general distributors. The new ones won't know what I'm talking about. It was either in Port Elizabeth or in Cape Town. I didn't have the money to go. They never asked me about it. They just told me, be there. You have to help at the desk. You see, don't ask too many questions. Just tell your people what to do and help them. But the next month, the bomb exploded. The bank wanted money that I didn't have for debt that I didn't run up. They sold my house. They sold my furniture. I walked out with my clothing. That's why I'm here. Everything, our whole life is just a jigsaw puzzle. You must just be there when payday walks in. I moved into a flat and then the sheriff. Is there a sheriff in our country? He wanted some more money. I got that too. God is so good. You know, I'm still praying. Charlie told me to move either to the Western Cape or to Port Elizabeth. I wouldn't move to Port Elizabeth. I was still scared of Charlie. And the first place that I could get was a bachelor flat. I moved into that without furniture. The next day, I saw a door outside. I picked up the door. I fetched 4 apple boxes from the para at the corner, and I had a bed with a 2-inch on top. That didn't worry me. I knew it was just for the time being. I'd get over it. I started doing, I started doing door to door. And then one afternoon, one of my distributors came and she knocked on the door and she wouldn't go away. I had to open eventually and she looked at my place without furniture and she said, this is necessary. Well, while there's a bed in my way at home, that afternoon I had a bed. I still have it. I never gave it back and she died in between. I moved in on a Monday, and then it was raining. And on the Tuesday, I went to the bank. I opened a bank account with 5 rand. You can't run this business without a bank account. And then I had nothing to do, so I walked up a one-way street with an umbrella, and halfway up, There was an old gentleman working in the garden. I started talking to him, and eventually his wife came outside. She said, "You'd better come in. We have coffee inside." We went in. I got there. I knew nobody. I had four relatives in the West, in the peninsula, and they all said no. And I didn't get, "I gaan nie klaar kry nie, jy kan hom maar weggooi." She's showing me my time is nearly up. They had eight children. And I went back to my flat without furniture and I prayed to the Lord, "Please, I need eight no's." I got 120 names out of them. On a Monday morning, I'm still with Charlie. On a Monday morning, I had a call from a chemical company. They needed the help. Could I come in for an interview? I went in and I got the job. I signed a contract. I wouldn't do anything outside of their business. It didn't worry me. I was desperate, number one. And number two, what can you say when you work a full day and you go home and you do something else at night time? I thought I could do it. But by the Saturday night, I had a week of training. And by the Saturday night when I got home, it was after 12. And my phone was shouting blue murder. He didn't accuse me of not having been to any meeting or whatever or to training. He asked me a question. "How many guests have you had this week?" I just tell him. So I told him the whole story. You know what he said to me? "Think about this. If you cannot make a success of this business, you will not be able to make a success of anything else." I took everything back the next day to that company, and I told them, "I'm leaving. I want my commission." During that week of training, I had earned 600 rand in commission, and I had missed out on a week of door to door. I had to wait 6 months for the 600 rand. I'm not telling you this to show you that it's so difficult to work this business. It's not. When you meet up with a challenge, face it. And if you can't, go to your upline. My upline's always there. The lines are open. It doesn't matter whether I phone at 8 in the morning or 8 at night. The lines are open. A challenge should only be allowed to shape you, to make a better person of you. And in my fifth year in the business, guess what happened? Now you're going to hear the real story from yesterday. On a Monday afternoon, one of the distributors phoned me, not one in my team, and she said to me, "Listen, I'm not coming to the presentation tonight. I was doing it, but I'll have guests, a young couple. I think they can't be much older than 21, 22. Will you please look after them for me?" I said, "Yes, sure." So after that, I phoned her and I said to her, "I made an appointment for you with this young couple. They live in Somerset West for 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That's when the man will also be home." She said, "I'm not going. They won't have the money to get started. I'm not wasting my time. You can have them." I made the appointment and I even got back to her with the money and the application form. And she said, "What's wrong with your ears? Don't you understand? I don't want them." That couple sitting there, Krishna and Llewellyn. What a deal. You know, it's such a blessing to have people in your team who are such hard workers and enjoying it. We've had so much fun together. I just want to tell you one short story. Llewellyn looked after the two of us. He saw to it that we did what we had to do. And once a month, after month's end, he took us out for dinner somewhere, but everyone pays for himself. And one Saturday night, we were going along the N1. We were going to have a meal in town. He did the bookings too. And as we passed the Maitland Bridge, he said, "Krishna, did you take our purse?" She said, "I thought you took it." So between Krishna and me, we started counting my money. I had 12 rand. Now this was still 1980. Huh? Krishna? It was still 1980. I had 12 rand. And I can remember he drove up into the city bowl and he stopped at the Fat Cat. And we were standing on the sidewalk reading the menu because it had to fit in with our money. It didn't. But we had a meal, and it was not hamburgers. We never ate hamburgers. We had a decent meal, and I still had change in my pocket. You know, saying thank you to those two seems so inadequate, but I am going to say it. I'm so proud of you. And the same applies to our company. We have the most wonderful company. Caring, loving, looking after our finances, looking after our bodies, looking after the health of our children. And we need never be ashamed of our company. There are no thieves working there. And to my sponsors, Charlie and Alta, you couldn't get any better. You see, I just prayed for something to do after work for the additional income. And look at what I got. They're always there for me. Only a thank you from the depth of my heart. And to those in my team who are there, yeah. Those who aren't here, I don't say thank you to you. Thank you for listening. And just one piece of advice. Business goes where it's invited, and it stays where it's well treated. Thank you very much.